Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies, welcome to episode 175. Nate is your tech engineer. We're your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. How you doing, Nate?
I'm doing good.
Are you? Are you lying to me?
I always lie.
You got a full belly, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Woohoo! We had a nice meal before we came to record today,
mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, that's right.
There's a reason behind it.
There is? Do you want to tell us the reason?
We have a special guest host with us tonight due to Todd's absence. His name's Pete.
Thanks for having me, guys.
It's Pete Peterson.
The
okay.
What, I have to do it. You probably heard me do the Mr. Peterson.
Yeah, yes. Right. George Peterson, Chicago Police.
That's right. Exactly. That's even, yes. So welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate
it. Thank you. I mean, it's an absolute honor to be, you know, listen, be a fan, and then just have you guys be like, why don't you come by? I'm like, absolutely, once in a lifetime thing. I mean, it's like a bucket list thing almost.
When I asked you, I was like, you can say no, don't worry, but hey, would you be interested? And you're like, whatever you need. And
yeah.
I was like, yes. I told Nate, I was like, Pete's going to do it. Yeah. So, and this is something that Todd doesn't know. This is a surprise to him. So
fantastic.
This is going to be fun. He's going to be like, oh my gosh. So I did encourage you. So we went out to dinner. Went to Nibiru. It was fantastic, right?
Oh, yeah.
When we got here, I did tell Pete that he has to bring up the Yankees as much as possible.
Yes.
He was talking about bringing all of his Yankee garb and sitting in Todd's seat.
In fact, all the little dolls now have got Yankee hats on them.
That's right. That's Todd's like, oh, he's groaning out there. You know he is.
He's going to have to burn it all.
We're going to love this. So I have to ask, how's everybody's week going? Because this is how we normally do it.
It's going good. Yeah.
We talk weather, we talk aches and pains, we talk sports, we talk
got
whatever.
The
work.
Yeah. Got the remnants of the tropical storm.
We so did,
that
yeah.
That ended today.
Texas, yeah, and they got, well, so they got the hurricane, then they got the heat, and then now we're getting all the rain. So not as much flooding as we thought it was going to be, though.
No.
Which is good.
Yeah. We didn't get as much rain as what they were predicting, I don't think.
Yeah, but it kind of cooled things down a little bit. It's perfect weather
for
out there.
For a little bit.
So. But yeah. Pete, how's your week going?
It was a great week so far.
Yeah.
Looking forward to the weekend. Got some plans.
That's right. So does this feel weird yet?
No, it's comfortable. It's good. I'm happy to be here, just to be in the place that where it all comes together. It's pretty amazing.
We warned you that it wasn't as exciting as like we make it sound. There's no dungeon. There's no trap door. Well, there is a trap door, but
there's,
we haven't showed you that
there's cathedral ceilings. Nobody knows.
It's exactly.
Beautiful. It's amazing.
We took the tank here, right? It's a super secret location.
Yes, yes.
Underground bunker. Well, thanks again for coming. There is, nowadays, we have a sponsor, and so we try to make sure that we mention this every time. Are you tired of an itchy, unruly beard? Want a beard that looks great, feels amazing, and smells masculine and sexy? Meet your new best friend, Cultured Creatured Beard Balm. Cultured Creatured Beard Balm is a game changer. Made with all natural ingredients like mango butter, shea butter, argan, avocado, jojoba, which is my favorite one to say, grape seed, and meadowform. That took a long time to figure out, Pete, by the way, just so you know. Meadowform seed oil. It nourishes your beard and the skin beneath. Say goodbye to dryness and itchiness and hello to a soft, well-groomed, and great-smelling beard. Not only does it tame your mane, but it also leaves a subtle, masculine scent with options like Cuban tobacco, sandalwood and bourbon, cedar and leather, and more. Feel confident all day, whether at the office, on a date, or at the gym. It's easy to use. Just rub a small amount between your palms and work it into your beard. Simple and effective and no mess. Cultured Creature Beard Balm, so fun to say, is handmade, organic, and natural, made by a father-daughter duo with over 20 years of beard care experience. It's packed with vitamins and nutrients and zero additives or preservatives. Ready to transform your beard? Visit refineyourwildside.com and use promo code MAKO10 for an extra 10% off. That's MAACO10 off your first order. Plus, all Creatured Culture Beard Balm is already 20% off. So that's 30% off your first order. Cultured Creatured Beard Balm, where nature meets nurture for the ultimate beard care experience. Don't tame your wild side, refine it with Cultured Creature Beard Balm. Phew, that's a mouthful. You like that? So what do you think? Have you gotten
it?
Have you gotten
it? No, I have not gotten
it. We're going to ask you that every time. We're putting the pressure on.
I'm going to.
The heat is on, right?
It's on the list.
It's
going to happen.
It's going to happen, right? Well, I keep thinking like it makes your beard smell well, but that's for me, that's going to be for everybody else. That's everybody else's benefit, not mine. I can't smell a dang thing. So Nate, I know you get the next. This is one of our newer segments, Pete, as you probably know, but
yeah, new segment. This week's last but not least goes out to the city of Clayton, New Mexico, and the country of South Africa. They each have given us one listen in the last 7 days, so we thank you for that. And remember, you're never least because you're last.
If you're not first, though, you're last. So isn't that the the Talladega Nights? We were talking about that in a baseball meeting, and I said that, and they were like, "We really need to teach the boys that winning's not everything, whatever." And I was like, "So you need me to make the shirts that say, you know, if you're not first, you're last?" They're like, "Yes, absolutely, right now."
A walk's as good as a hit.
Exactly right. I guess I have the first part of the announcements because that's normally my deal, right? We come here together for the fun, the frivolity, the tapestry, which I know is one of Pete's favorite words over here from this show, right?
Oh, yeah.
That and the fact that you got to see all the stuff under the table, our list that we're keeping.
We're running out of table space.
We are running out of table. Yeah. You're like, this is the table, right?
Yeah.
But we talk about paranormal. We talk about the creepy. We've been having this thing going for a lot longer than we ever imagined. But the main thing that we do here and the thing we set up, one of the first things, is to have a community for mental health, making sure people get help. We've all been there. We've all needed it, and we know people that do, so we want to make sure and give out that information. So call or text 988 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you may be experiencing. You can also text HOME to 741-741 for professional help. And if you or anyone you know is experiencing some sort of bullying, make sure to access stopbullying.gov for more help and support. By the way, he left out a Y in Stop Bullying. Did you see Stop Bullying? I think he's making a joke. He's trying to throw me off. Did you see that? So thanks, Todd. No, I'm just kidding. I do accentuate that from time to time. You did a really good job on that last week, by the way, when I was out.
What, the announcements?
The announcements.
Torn nothing.
Todd told me that. So, you do get the dad joke.
I get the dad joke, yes.
You going to do a drum roll?
I don't think we need to get that far into it.
I won't groan, I promise.
Let me pull it up here. Oop, wrong page. All right, dad joke. Here we go. My boss said, dress for the job you want, not for the job you have. So I went in as Batman.
Nice. Oh, that's nice. Good. Now, did he feed you that or did you come up with that?
No, I came up with that one.
I thought you might have.
Well done.
Todd's like, what are you talking about? I gave him that one. That is good. I love Batman. I don't know if you know that. I do. You know, the one thing I don't have is I have a new Wolverine.
Yeah, Wolverine.
Right. I have Wolverine, but I don't have Batman. That's what I need. But the next thing we want to do is shout outs. We'll start. Pete, do you have any shout outs?
I do not.
Sort of put him on the spot there, Ben.
I did, didn't I? I like that. I was like, yeah, who am I going to pick on?
Not reading the show notes.
It's a script, not script, right? You were saying, I wondered how that worked. It's a mystery.
It's all an illusion.
Nate, are you going to bless anyone with any shout outs?
Ooh, let's see. Shout outs. Shout out to my wife's side of the family for having the memorial of life for her grandma this past weekend. Went off without a hitch. Well, I wouldn't say without a hitch. The AC died. The fridge died.
Was this at the house?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But we figured it all out.
Yeah.
Got everything running again.
He fixed it all, right?
Did, exactly. Jack of all trades over there.
Yes.
Well, sort of. Not sort of. one of the guests was a HVAC guy. So he got it running again.
You held the flashlight then. You know what it feels like.
Shout out to her side of the family that did a wonderful little get together, and it was nice.
Very good. I do want to preface that we always joke about like the shout outs being a one time deal, but you know that I'm going to probably be like, oh, by the way, I need to shout it. Yeah. So I'm notorious for doing that kind of stuff. Today is my daughter Claire's 15th birthday. So
Happy birthday, Claire.
I even said, I'm like, should we be recording on your birthday? And we celebrated last night, and Jenna's like, she'll be fine. She's just going to want to hang out with her friends. And she went to the Splash Island and all that stuff. So she's good, but happy birthday, sweetheart. I told Jenna, I was like, I cannot believe how big she's getting. Mm-hmm. And, she's like, no, she's still our baby. We're, you know, I'm like, she's getting bigger though. Like
when if she listens to this episode, it's going to be belated a week.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. That's all right. It's the 10th. Today is the 10th, July 10th. But yeah, happy birthday, sweetheart. The other thing I want to shout out actually to my family. We had a nice vacation. So thank you guys for, and to you and Todd for taking over while I was gone. But we had an awesome time in North Carolina. So Lake Lure was, Todd goes, I thought you were in like Florida again or something. I was like, I understand how you think that because that's normally where we go. But we went to North Carolina for the second time, and it was fun. So Jenna is convinced that's where we need to move. She's convinced that's where we need to vacation all the time. And I was telling her, I'm like, you know, cost of living is more. And she goes, no, it's less. It's like 5% less. And
wow,
I was like,
really?
No, really? I did not know that. Huh. So now she's got me intrigued. It's this whole how she got me over by the prison. Remember, you took 3 years to convince me. So now it starts trying to convince me to get to North Carolina. But she's got a plan for taking us all with her. So Todd's like, no, what are you talking about? We're going to have to do this podcast remotely. But anyway, so that's in Jenna's mind. So shout out. I just, like I said, I really appreciate that. And my last shout out, I'm going to take one more, and I'm going to shout out to Pete. And I really appreciate you being here. The one of the last shout outs I gave when I was here was to you just for being a good listener.
Well, thank you.
And such a dedicated listener. And now coming on here, you're part of the crew. So step up, right?
Special guest.
It's amazing. It really is.
And that's why we talked about that. Like, if you really enjoy this, I'm like, hey, have Pete Peterson back in. This will be, you know, like a special thing. So,
happy to come by.
And you know that we can do it remotely too. So,
yeah.
You're only the next town up, right? So, I have the special announcements. We have a Mako meet and greet scheduled for Saturday, August the 10th. This will be at the horror-themed Scarlet Lane Brewery. I'm excited for that one. Mm-hmm. In McCordsville, Indiana. We will show up at 4 and be there until whenever. Todd keeps saying until whenever we get kicked out. They offer great pizza and, of course, handcrafted beers for your spooky delight. And this location has the original Sammy Terry, which is amazing, dungeon. Did you? Because you grew up in New Jersey.
No, we didn't have him.
So, yeah, he's a Hoosier legend. He's passed, and now his son does it. But so has the original Sammy Terry dungeon and the junior, or I don't know, Sammy Terry Jr., you can call him, I guess. But the son of Sammy Terry is, you know, which I love saying that too, you know, Sammy Terry. So, but he does the show now there every once in a while. So
I thought you were going down a Son of Sam thing there.
That's what it sounded like, didn't it? I was thinking the same thing. So the Sammy Terry's dungeon, which takes us all back to our childhood here from Indiana. So come out and see us there. We also have the Creeped Out and Haunted Live Show 2024 at Greenwood Happy Haunts in Greenwood, Indiana. It will be on Saturday, September 21st, and the show will start at 6 p.m. Arrival time starts at 5:15. Our special guest speaker is paranormal investigator and author Austin Lawrence. Tickets are only $10, and they can be pre-purchased or when you arrive the day of the show. The options are PayPal, which is at TW Hedges 312, so that's H-E-D-G-E-S. Venmo is at Todd-Hedges-3. Cash App is $ Todd William 12. And of course, old-fashioned cash works as well. We hope to see you there for a creepy night of fun.
I'll be there.
You're going to be there? Well, you have to be there. I'm not supposed to be there, right? Didn't Todd tell me not to show up? That's what I think I heard.
Yeah, that may have came out.
I think it did. Time or 2 or 12. You might be coming. If you do well enough, well, you and your wife are going to be there, right?
Yes, we'll be there.
If you do well enough tonight, you might be sitting over here from now on. So they are always looking, you know. We said we were going to stop making those jokes, but they're still funny, right?
It's fun. It's all in good fun. Good humor.
That's right. All right, Nate, do you have our topic for tonight?
Oh, if I must.
If you may.
Our topic tonight is Sean's pick.
Yes.
And it goes by the name of Mel's Hole in Washington State.
That's right.
And if you're interested, please check out our source links that we used for this topic.
Yes, that's right. And you know who does that? That's another shout out. Todd does the source links, which I really appreciate. It's not, he was like, oh, it's not that hard to do. But I really appreciate him taking the time to do that. So shout out to him again. So Mel's Hole is something. Okay, so I've heard of this on and off. And it had come resurfaced. I don't think I've had it on my list at all, but I've kind of had it on my like super secret list. And it was on a TikTok, and I watched the TikTok about it, and I was like, we have to talk about this because talk about taking a deep dive, right?
Literally.
So this is Mel's Hole. We had talked about this sounding a little dirty, and it is. It's a hole, right? So Mel's Hole is, according to an urban legend, a quote-unquote bottomless pit near Ellensburg, Washington. Claims about it were first made on the radio show Coast to Coast AM in 1997, when I graduated high school, by a guest calling himself Mel Waters. Later investigation revealed no such person was listed as residing in that area, and no credible evidence has been given that the hole ever existed. So that's where the dun-dun-dun-dun starts, right? The first thing is I listened to the entire episode, first call. It's 34, 5, 6 minutes long.
Okay.
I just had to, because listening to this, you get little snippets of it or like information. It was, so the first, because I wanted to see like, was this like total hoax?
Does he even sound legit?
He sounds totally legit.
Wow.
If you get time, it's like, you know, how much time do we have to go and listen to all this stuff? But I did. I actually listened to it in the car when I was driving to work. But the, so it's funny because he was totally like, I mean, you could tell that he had put a lot of like thought into this and like had been trying to kind of keep it off the radar. And then he's just like, I've got to tell somebody this. Like, I want to know what this is. Like, he's not out there like trying to make, you know, name for himself or anything like that. He's legitimately out there asking this question. There's a segment in the show where people call up just to like ask questions or give like their own theories of like what could be happening. And that's really interesting too. And people are, they start talking about like putting somebody down the hole or putting an animal down the hole and all this stuff. But the legitimately what you know, looked at and researched for this, it actually happened on that first call, but there were multiple calls afterwards. Mm-hmm. So
apparently people have used the hole to dump assorted garbage, including a car, throughout the years.
Yeah. So it's a big hole,
and
right?
It's never filled up.
Nope.
And the stuff I was reading, it always seems like they go on and on about the extreme depth of whether it's bottomless or whether it's just like 80,000. I read 80,000 feet, which is still like incredibly deep. But they never talk about like how wide the hole is. And then you see like, oh, we threw a car down. And I'm like, that's a giant hole.
It's got to be huge, right?
Yeah, right.
But when they picture it, sometimes they show teeny tiny, like almost like a little manhole.
Yeah, right.
That you can barely fit a person down. So now the weirdest thing is that they have, this has come back in, you know, like been the show. I started watching the show. It is, what is it on Hulu? Have you guys seen, I got to find it first here. Sorry.
I don't know. Other people have claimed that they've seen a black light shine from the hole, and a hunter dumped his dead dog into the abyss, only to find it alive in the woods days later.
Mel actually tells that story. He said that's one of the urban legends that he had been told about the hole, because the people that owned it before him had been there for like 30 or 40 years prior, and that's when like not just that owner, but like neighbors had been dumping stuff. He had been dumping stuff.
Wow.
And so it's Outer Range.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Jenna and I started watching. She's like, it's kind of weird, but it's got Josh Brolin. So it's Amazon Prime, but it's like the same idea. Cause I had heard about Mel's Hole before I started watching it, but it's the same kind of idea that this like strange hole that, you know, has like weird qualities.
Cemetery.
Exactly. So that dog, the story, and even Mel says, you know, this is just a story I was told. I never saw this. I didn't witness this. I don't know who this person was. But yeah, this guy threw his dog down there, and then he saw him. I heard some people say that he saw him running through the woods, and it was the same one, had the same tags on. And then another one said that he was like sitting on a porch, and then he saw him. But it was the same exact dog.
I'd read that other people had seen him too. And
yes.
They told him, oh yeah, I saw your
dog. I saw your dog. And you're like, he's dead. I threw him down the hole. But so it's weird. Wow. That part, you know, just starts the weirdness.
It does say right here it's 9.5 feet wide.
Okay.
With smooth walls as far as you can see.
Yeah, it goes because there is a boundary around it. And he said that it goes, it's like sealed for about 15 feet down. And then past that is like rock and sediment and, you know, and mud, basically. He said there's, and he goes, you can, because they were saying, like, can't you just like put a light down there and see how far it goes? And he said, you can only see into, like, it starts to turn into like eternal darkness at a certain point. He said, it's actually very hard to see past that barricade or the wall that they have in place. And he said, the way they have the outer wall, that the way he described it was very well kept. He said, it's a hole that somebody who had taken great care of. Mm-hmm. So that also makes it very, very strange. Hmm.
Sounds something not unlike a portal.
Portal, right? To another dimension. Yeah.
Another
dimension.
Yeah, right? Very possible. One of Waters' experiments, if you want to call it that, see how deep it was. He tied a Lifesaver's candy to a fishing line and tried to attempt hitting the bottom.
Right. And it's not just any fish. So he was a shark fisherman. Mm-hmm. And that was something he talked about on that first call. I'd heard somebody say that, and I'm like, surely that's like not true. He does say that. So it's very thick line. And it was like, I forget what he said. It was 15 feet long, each one or whatever. He had had several spools. I think he had like 15 spools, completely, down in there.
Yeah.
But he had, the first was 1500 feet he had down, and then he wound it back up. But he just had like a 1 pound weight on it. Mm-hmm. But then like you said, he tried the Lifesavers and it never like dissolved. It was perfectly,
it said he
untarnished at all.
Eventually got, he thought 80,000 feet, slightly more than 15 miles, and the weight still hadn't hit bottom.
Yeah. And that's the thing is that like when he started, and again, that's on that first call, and he called in multiple times. He talks about the 80,000 feet, and people are like, if that's true, that would be the deepest hole that's ever been, even Art Bell says, you got the, like a Guinness Book of World Record, kind of thing there. And, but other people call in and say like, well, maybe your fishing line is just winding down on itself. Like it's hit the bottom.
Yeah.
And
you just can't,
you're
feel
just,
it.
But he's like, yeah, but at some point, like, it's just like the trash. Why is it not filling up? Mm-hmm. And he said, I still feel a lag on it. He's like, you can still feel the tug of the, and they're like encouraging him to pull it back up and check it and all this kind of stuff. But they said it could be like snagged on something. And so it's really interesting. So, and all those things are valid points too, but he's just like, and his wife worked for the university, the local university there. And he had encouraged her to talk to them about it. And he said, I almost nag her about it, but they just told him that there's nothing. It's just a hole. It's not a big deal. And he was just like, I just want somebody to come out and like measure it. Because somebody had called and said, why don't you use like radar? Radar would give you the exact depth of this thing and tell you what's going on. But nobody would go out and do that. So it's like somebody, you'd think they would, if this was legit.
Right.
Art Bell even said, like, after a certain amount of the conversation, he's like, now be straight with me, Mel. Like, are you just pulling my leg? And he's like, no, this is like a legit thing that I'm trying to get literally to the bottom of. Like, that's a pun there. But he was very adamant that this was something that he was legitimately trying to make people aware of.
And then didn't he say that once he notified the government or something, or asked people to come out or a university to come out, the government then just kicked him off his land and
story gets so deep. Yeah, they did. Supposedly. Because one of the things he jokes about is like maybe he should like contact, the local departments and just let them use it for nuclear waste or whatever. And he's like, then I probably want to like move away. But his point was, is that all the stuff that's been put down there, and he even like admitted to putting like TV tubes down there and not hearing an explosion or implosion or anything like that. And he said, I've actually done that a couple times. And they're like, yeah, you probably shouldn't say that. You know, the EPA could, you know, like come out there and shut all this down. And he's like, it's my hole. And he was like, none of the water around there, as long as it's been, the trash has been thrown down there in cars and whatever, nothing has ever shown any kind of level of pollution or toxicity at all. And that's very strange too. It's like, where does this stuff go that it's not getting in the groundwater? Mm-hmm. So dimensional portal, is it going through the earth, like hollow earth, those kind of things people have talked about. Like it could be all number of those things.
Yeah.
But he was at one point he was paid to leave and go to Australia.
Yeah.
And they, the point, I forget, it was $1 million, $3 million, something like that. And, but he was not allowed to come back.
Right.
Like, here's your money, move away. Don't ever come back. And they had, they'd sealed off his land. You're like, you can't come back on your land. So they sealed him off of it. And so God knows what they're doing with it. You know what I mean? Like, and the other thing, it begs the question is like, if this hole exists, how many of these, how many of these holes are around?
Right.
You know, yeah. Like, are they, are there any other ones?
Here's another weird story that he told him in that interview. He claims he found a World War II era German pistol in the dirt by the hole. It doesn't make any sound when it fired and would cause a radio to receive broadcasts from the past when it was put near it.
Isn't that weird?
That's crazy. I didn't read that part. That's amazing.
That is really weird.
That's the, like, did you ever, this is a little off topic, but.
Oh, we love off topic.
Did you ever hear the story of Lucille Ball that she gave an interview that, and she was, this was kind of like, she was an adult and in her prime, that she, during World War II, I think she was, she could hear voices, like radio voices in her head, and she thought everybody could hear them, but everybody said, no, we don't hear anything. What are you hearing? And she's like, it's like Japanese radio broadcasts. And Lord knows what, I mean, I don't know if she spoke Japanese or not or could interpret it or not, but she had claimed that she was receiving these radio transmissions because of the fillings she had in her
teeth. Mm-hmm. That's wild.
Talk about going down a rabbit hole of another research. Wow. Is like Lucille Ball's radio transmissions in her fillings.
You would think. So there's Google a dental component. There's a schizophrenic. Like, that's pretty wild. I've never heard that before. Yeah.
Wow.
I've heard about the Jackie Gleason, you know, where he like got to, have you heard of that one?
No.
Down in Florida, he was invited by Nixon to go see, supposedly, like, and he reported this, and they said the Jackie Gleason would not be somebody that would be sharing this information if it wasn't true. But he was, Nixon invited him to a super secret, like, government facility, and he showed him UFOs, aliens, and all this stuff. And he was legit. They said when his wife apparently had reported, when he came home, he was like visibly shaken and, you know, shook up over what he had seen. And he was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is actually real. So that was one of the things that like Jackie Gleason was a believer after that. And it was just because they were like, hey, you want to come see this? You know,
President's Book of Secrets.
It's crazy, right? Exactly. Yeah. Cause that's out there, right? That's another great show. So like known to man, the deepest hole, we were talking about this actually at dinner. Is in Russia, right? And we've mentioned it here on the show too, the Kola hole. The Kola hole is a super deep borehole. It's an artificial hole, man-made, with a depth of 40,230 feet. So that's 12,262 meters. That's deep.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't go any deeper. Number one, I don't know if they ran out of money or they ran out of like the ability to say, hey, this is a good idea to do. People say that they ran into hell. They start hearing like voices.
They started hearing screams and stuff coming from
the that was one of the urban legends.
I think they're having trouble drilling through the whatever was down there.
Well,
it was chewing up their bits.
It says it took 20 years to reach this depth, with the project being abandoned in 1992 due to high temperature, which you would think that would happen, right? And the difficulty of drilling through the Earth's crust, which also begs the question with Mel's hole. So if you're
twice
down
as
that
deep, according to him.
So, and if he stuck a lifesavers down there or even this, you know, something, that line is, that was his other thing is like, how do you know your line's not just like disintegrating down there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he's like, I feel the slack. There's still weight there. This is funny, a little bit off the beaten path with this, but this was actually, again, in the first call, a woman called him and asked, and she said, if you felt a tug on the line, and he's like, she goes, what would you do? And he's like, what would I do? And Art Bell goes, run. And he goes, yeah, I'd probably run. He goes, and he has a cover because he didn't want anybody like to mess with it or fall into it or whatever. But he said, I'd put the cover on. And he goes, I'd probably be like, nope, we're done here. Like, absolutely done. So that never happened. You know, no, there was no tugging the line. But can you imagine, though, if you're like, because he was obsessed with this hole. Like, he had visited just before he called the show and whatever. And so was just like fascinated and wanted to find, you know, what the secrets of this hole actually was.
Then the U.S. tried to do their, I guess, competitive hole drilling with the Soviet Union at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Where I think it was mine's not loading, but it was called Project Mohole. And it, I don't think it got anywhere near as deep as the Russians, but they chose, instead of the Russians was on like the north end of the continent on the Soviet Union. And I think the United States chose to go the other route and go to like the bottom of the ocean, not like the deepest part of the ocean, but a fairly shallow part where they could, the bottom of the ocean would be closer to, you know, the crust or the mantle or whatever layer is below that. So they'd have a better chance of getting further. And they, I think they claim it was cut off because of funding.
You know,
a new president comes in and says, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. What are we doing here? Yeah. What's this hole for?
We can spend this money a lot better.
Yeah. Which is probably a good point, honestly. Yeah. What do we do with digging holes, right? It's interesting because what was the other hole you guys were talking about?
The blue hole or?
Yeah, the big blue hole, I believe that's what it's called, down in off the shore of Belize.
About going over that and when we took the cruise, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had seen that before, but I did not know that we went right over that. Was that something that they mentioned? Because I do kind of remember them talking about that.
I don't know. Yeah, the Great Blue Hole.
That's more and more that's kind of sinking in.
So, yeah, it's a big hole out in the ocean or the Gulf or whatever you want to call it. I've researched a little bit on it. If memory serves me well, I'm pretty sure they have found the bottom of it. It does have a bottom, but it's just weird because it's a round hole in this little reef island area. For what?
Yeah.
It's just a hole.
Yeah.
They had similar, I don't think they were as deep, but I was watching some Discovery Channel, History Channel show, and is it Central America or South America, the cenotes, they call them, they're deep holes that they would, the Mayans and the Incas would worship, like casting offerings into these holes to the gods and everything, because they could never find the bottom of it, but they're nowhere near as deep. We found the bottom of them, and they're just really oddly shaped the way the rock had eroded, and it like kind of curves. It's narrow at the top and it curves out like a bell.
Yeah.
And there's like a big mound in the middle or something like that. And that's where they found all these, you know, offerings of whatnot.
That they threw in there. Yeah.
Primitive people are thinking, no, I'm not going anywhere near that. It's bottomless.
Well, and there's, you know, this also links into some of the stuff we talked about, like inner earth, you know, stuff we don't, you know, we talk about investigating what's in space, which I think is fascinating. And it's a wonderful thing to do or to think about. But it's like, we don't know what's in our oceans. We don't know what's in our earth. You know, like we're still, you know, if anything, I mean, if it was a, you know, a school atmosphere, we're barely in preschool when it comes to knowing our own environment. So that to me is, I don't, and there are people, you know, people that go exploring in caves, but they only go so deep because you can get lost really. We were talking about that, getting lost in woods, but in, you know, if you're going into caverns and, you know, these different crevices, they can be dangerous, obviously. But we really don't know. We don't know what's, you know, only so far down in our earth.
Well, I mean, they've been exploring Mammoth Cave in Kentucky for,
it's a labyrinth, yeah.
Ever.
And they still don't have,
they're still not to the bottom of it.
Yeah, only a percentage of it's been actually discovered and navigated and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he talked about having this hole having magical properties, you know, and that was obviously what prompted the federal agents to seize the land and have him go to Australia and everything. But it says Waters made guest appearances on Bell's show in 97. So that's February 21st and 24th, 2000 and 2002. So rebroadcast of those appearances have helped to create what they've described as a modern rural myth. The exact location of the hole was unspecified, yet several people claim to have seen it. Such as self-described intertribal medicine man Gerald Osborne, also known as Red Elk, who told reporters in 2012 he visited the hole many times since 1961 and claimed the U.S. government maintained a top-secret base there where alien activity occurs. Because this is the funny thing, is it's like all of a sudden, you know, Mel was obviously somebody that called in. Now he doesn't exist, right?
Right.
Mel's hole doesn't exist, but it did. And, you know, the government has, you just, it begs that question of like, why did they cover all this up? What are they doing there? Is it a, you know, another Area 51 kind of thing? How many of these things are around the country? And why is it so top secret? Or is it totally just a made up thing? But again, like, why would this gentleman come on and talk about this stuff and then just disappear? You know?
Yeah. And I always wondered why why would you use an, we assume it's an alias because it's not on any records in the area or anything like that. So, I mean, yeah, you wouldn't want people to, like the government to come after you immediately if they knew your real name. But eventually, I mean, he was open enough with it that people found out about it. The government made him an offer to move and mm-hmm. pay him a lot of money to live somewhere else.
And he regretted that he did that because he ended up coming back. He came back to like visit family. Right. And that was a big no-no.
So
apparently.
It's like, it kind of got a little fuzzy for me there, but you never know.
He was interested and he was saying that he wanted to find indigenous tribes, which, so some of the, Indians around the area, like to ask them, like, do you guys have holes like this? What are the purpose? What have you guys found anything? And so he actually started that was the next kind of evolution of this is that he started, finding out about other holes that were, this is supposedly anyway. And that's where it gets even weirder. And some of this, you know, the story basically evolves. Did you guys listen to anything about that?
No, but just reading through this article and stuff, it just, the story gets weirder and weirder.
It really does, which is fun, right?
He also, along with the German pistol that he found by the hole, he found a red envelope containing 1943 Roosevelt dimes that bore a B mint mark. I don't know. It doesn't really go into depth on the importance of that, other than, as you said earlier, somebody leased the property for $3 million a year, but he had to go to Australia, and he broke the agreement. He came back into the States. When he did, he was lured off a bus near Olympia, taken into custody and waking up 12 days later in San Francisco with an IV scar and surgical tape residue on his arm.
Wow.
Water said his rear molar teeth, his wallet, and belt buckle, which he said was made with three of the Roosevelt dimes he claimed near the hole, were taken.
Oh, wow.
And believed the government placed a tracking device in his teeth.
That is crazy. So 10 unbelievable facts. There's a great article here on Listverse. So it talks about the bottomless hole, a lot of the things that we talked about, but there's some unbelievable things that are linked to this hole as well. So it talks about the number 10 is him calling into the radio show the first time. It's water tested the depths with the fishing line, which we talked about that as well. And then, like I said, he was going upwards of the 80,000 feet, which is still just unbelievable distance into the earth. Doesn't make sense. There were people that were really fighting against that too, because they said a hole like that would collapse in on itself with the heat and the pressure and all that kind of stuff. So that doesn't really add up. The story that we talked about, the folklore about the dog being brought back to life, and that's got different versions like we talked about, but it does, Nate, they actually reference, like you did, Nate, Pet Cemetery. it says certain items act strangely near Mel's hole. Also, one thing that he talked about is that his dogs wouldn't go near it. They would just, he said, my dogs follow me everywhere, but they won't follow me around the hole. So animals acted very strange around it. So this says, this one's interesting. So in a claim, Waters revealed that Mel's hole had strange effects on some everyday objects. Art Bell and his listeners hung on to every word as Waters mentioned the odd things that metal items and portable radios would start to do whenever they were near the openings of the 9-foot diameter hole. He claimed that metals would mysteriously change into other metals or substances whenever he held them near the entrance. Waters also recounted an instant where he brought his radio to the pit and set it to his favorite radio station. But instead of music, the radio put out strange unknown voices and programs and music from the past, like it was kind of what you were talking about. And then it's number 6 is unexplained circumstances at Mel's hole. Waters described many of his experiments at the pit, and each one seemed to produce a more unsettling result than the last. In one of his final calls, Waters described the lowering of a bucket of ice down to 1,500 feet. And when he lifted it out, he noticed that the ice was warm but did not melt. He said it had changed into a flammable substance. So what in the world? Yeah. The warm ice was not the only time that his experience defied the laws of science. When he yelled down into the hole, he claimed there was no echo. There was also no sound after large trash items such as refrigerators or television CRT tubes were thrown into the pit to confirm that they had hit the bottom. There was something about this. So this ice, The fact that it had was now warm was somebody had they were taking this into a cabin or whatever to a home that was they were using it to heat their home, and it eventually this is where the story this is one of the weird ones where this flammable substance eventually like collapsed in the foundation of this home on itself. And it's like, so whatever that substance ended up being, it was very weird. But this goes, I mean, that's a weird one. The weirdest one I heard. So, cause there are, like I said, there are Indian lore that came along with the Indians having holes like this and indigenous people. But they said there was a gentleman that would come and visit the hole, and he still claims that this was all totally legit. So this is one of the experiments they did, because they didn't. There was a guy that called, and he offered his service. This is on the first call. He said he was from Austin, Texas, and he said, "I'll go down the hole." He said, "Now I want like a I want to be harnessed and make sure that I'm secure." And he goes, "And I want like a quick release button. Like if I need to go up quickly, I want up." And he said, "I want to be in a cage. Like I want to be protected." And they're like, "What if some kind of a creature is coming at you? What are you going to do?" And he's like, "Well, I'll see it in enough time." And like, dude, it's very, heroic of you, but it sounds like a horrible idea to put somebody down there.
Yeah.
And, Mel, also had in his will to that if he, cause they said, "Would you go down in the hole?" And he goes, they said, "If you had some kind of a terminal illness," and he goes, "Yeah, absolutely. I would." And he said, "I actually have it in my will that when I die, throw me down in that hole."
Right.
"You know, just do it." Hmm. And, he claimed that he had cancer at one point and that supposedly cured him as of his cancer, just being around the hole. So that those kind of things are pretty wild claims. But so this sheep thing is really crazy. So one of Water's most disturbing claims involved lowering a live sheep into the hole to around 1500 feet as he did the ice bucket. The sheep shrieked and kicked on the way down, then suddenly went silent. When Waters lifted it out, he found the animal had been cooked. The sheep had also developed a strange lump, which to his horror started to move. He cut it open and found a fetal seal that had, he said, gazed at him with intelligent human-like eyes. Waters went on to add that the creature miraculously cured his cancer, so that's where that came from. It jumped back into the hole, but was seen later by local sheep herders who claimed it radiated a benevolent presence. This chilling story may explain why Waters' dogs refused to come within 100 feet of the hole and why birds never sat on its stone retaining wall or metal cover. So that's a weird one. That's a really, really strange one. That's why, and we were also discussing this off air, that there could be some mental illness components to this. You know, like, is it possible that even though like he was had moments of lucidity and seemed like a normal person, that some of the stuff was just, whether he's schizophrenic or whether he's got, any kind of a mental disorder that is taking him away from reality. Like you had mentioned, a beautiful mind.
Right. Well, I got the answer here. Adding on to the dimes and the gun found at the hole, some of Bell's fans, after hearing about the dimes being 1943, what year did they say? Was it 43?
It was somewhere in there.
43B, I think was the...
But yep, 43B.
But supposedly that wasn't made in that year, is it?
Yep. So they pointed out that Roosevelt's likeness did not appear on the dime until 1946, and after a year after his death, and there is no B mint marking.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that for certain. You had D for Denver, P for Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
And then if they're not, I can't remember which mint that was.
Is there a San Francisco?
Yeah, that one's not.
So B is not Baltimore
or Boston.
So there is no B. So Waters, his reasoning behind the gun and dimes, as my page jumps, is that they're from a parallel universe where Roosevelt died before 1943. The Germans won the World War II, and the dimes were struck at a mint in Berlin.
Isn't that wild? That is crazy. I love that part. I'm glad you brought that up because I love that. And how can you argue with, you know, other dimensions, other, you know, parallel universes? Because nowadays, like that used to sound crazy, but now it's like...
It's a wormhole.
It is a wormhole. So
there's plenty of... There's different quantum physics beliefs that, you know, the many worlds theory, that there are an infinite number of universes. So entirely possible that could have happened if you just kind of like open your mind to that.
Oh, it's crazy.
But then it just seems like it reminded me when you started saying like a parallel dimension or alternate universe, it reminded me of that TV show, Man in the High Castle.
Oh, yeah, which is great,
and
by the way.
There was another one that was...
Which is so scary, but so good. I mean, it really is. Like, we came so close to that, too.
I'll think of the other one. Just go ahead.
Oh, that's okay.
We talked about this.
Yes.
We did, yeah. It's like, this is the middle age part, right? Exactly. Yes, we did. That is the... I want to go over these other points here, too, before I forget. But that is the interesting thing, is that we really don't know what we don't know. And we're so close to quantum computing. And they're saying that once we... get these quantum computers going, it's going to be a whole different world. You know, that's, I mean, they say that's the stair step into AI and, you know, being cyborgs and all that stuff, but who knows? But anyway, it's exciting, but a little terrifying too. But, so this, you talked about the strange light that radiated from the hole. So I won't go into that again, but, that's obviously very disturbing. The federal government seizing the land and all the claims and the claim that he was paid to go to Australia. And it was, this says the, over the years, and that's why it's still talked about. It's still put on TikTok. People still want to know, you know, have these questions. It's never been completely answered. But it says, you know, that this has become such an urban legend. So there, Waters actually went back 2 years later after he had left. It says one of his final calls, Waters claimed he had come back to Washington 2 years after moving to Australia, despite a warning from the government not to return. He said police officers removed him from a bus and left him on the streets of San Francisco 2 weeks later. He had IV marks on his arms, several missing teeth, and no memory of what transpired. Waters managed to continue to his hometown, but felt that menacing strangers were stalking him. He was told his land had been taken over by the government and found the region had been erased on an earlier mapping system called Terra Server. And that was not the end of the story. He said he found a nearly identical hole in the Badlands of Nevada. This one had a metal ring that extended down into the ground inside of a brick lining, but his experiments at the site produced similar results that he had had at his hole. So, and then the number one big thing was, is the fact that it's still discussed today, which is what we keep talking about. And it is crazy though.
Now, if it cured his cancer and he threw the dog down it and the dog came back to life somewhere else and was seen and he wanted to be thrown down the hole after he died, would he then come back to life?
I think that's what he's kind of hoping, right?
I mean, it cured your cancer. Your dog came back. I mean, none of this is logical or sounds logical at all, but I mean, if you follow the logic, he would come back out alive. So.
Keep throwing the dead in there, infinite life.
The funny
zombie apocalypse.
Exactly.
That's where it starts, is Mel's hole.
It is really, it's such a bizarre thing. And like I said, the fact that it goes into, you know, we joked about, you know, everything goes back to Indians and Indian burial grounds and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we really do. We need to do an episode on Indians and their burial grounds, but it's, this goes into so many different avenues from ancient cultures into aliens to underground stuff. It just kind of goes into everything. So that's why I found when I first heard this, like I said, it's such a fantastic story that it's like, nobody can believe this. Now there are parts and pieces of it that are believable. And like, I was trying to think about like, what would this be like if I found this or this happened to me? It would destroy your life, you know? And like you were talking about, how do you even make those decisions? Like, oh, and they're offering me money. This is a great thing, you know? He had talked about like letting the government, you know, just rent the hole and throw whatever they wanted down it and not ask any questions, you know? Right. He joked about that. So, but you know, what would you do? Like, it's very tantalizing, but it's also scary as hell.
Apparently there is a brewery near there in Ellensburg. It's called the Iron Horse Brewery, and it has a beer called Mel's Magic IPA.
Ooh.
It's advertised as unclear beer matches the myth that precedes it.
Is it a never-ending keg that never runs out?
It should be. That would be great marketing, right? Be a little costly, but.
So, yeah.
No, the TV show, I just remembered it. It was Fringe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've never watched that, though. Yeah.
Oh,
I've not watched it.
Oh, my goodness. It's talk good. About a rabbit hole. Just, I mean, and parallel dimensions and all. It was wild. And it tunes right into the whole alternate universes. And this happened in this one, but it didn't happen in this one. Like, major scientific, you know, experiments and like, oh, they developed this, but they didn't. They went the other route. Like, we always ask, well, what if we didn't do this, we did that? Well, that's what happened in this parallel dimension is they did it. And they had, like, some of the characters from this world existed there, but they were different.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely
that's
worth
wild.
If you have to binge something.
Wow.
It's that, yeah. The this says, so we talk about the Native American tie-in here. It says, a man named Red Elk is one of the only people alive known to have ever seen the mysterious hole. A Native American shaman or medicine man, Red Elk, said his dad first showed him the hole in 1961. He said, this is an endless hole. Red Elk's been back many times. He said strange things happen every time he goes near it. People get confused with what he calls the devil's hole. Many locals claim to know about the hole, but it didn't become a phenomenon until 1997 when Mel basically opened it up to people. Because he said this has been, you know, been there for generations, and they didn't know how long, and they didn't know, you know, exactly who took such good care of it. Mm. But so it's interesting that there was, like, verification from this, you know, Native American that's like, yeah, this is a thing. And this is a thing that has happened, you know, in different, at least, you know, who knows, like I said, it could be a worldwide occurrence. It could be some, just like pyramids and all these structures that we can't completely explain and understand what their purposes were and why they're there and the ley lines and all that. This is a whole nother thing that, like, we don't really understand. You know, we can say, ah, this is ridiculous, or, oh, this was used for something, you know, completely, you know, understandable. But the fact that they've erased this, you know, from the map, you know, or at least allegedly, and it sure looks like it too. Like, oh, this didn't exist. Like, look, you know, but it's like, you know, did you just trying to cover something up? You know, that's what really just kind of, it's what keeps us alive, is because there really is, hasn't been a good answer. And like I said, it gets off onto so many different, wild tangents, but, it is, it's such a good thing to discuss.
There was one article I was reading information about it. Where the heck did I put it? But it actually gave, like, coordinates. But then it's approximate. This is, you know.
I was reading that there's also a old gold mine in that area too that a lot of people find.
Well, maybe that's only, part of it. Yeah,
It's only like 100 foot deep or whatever. Oh, okay. It's not very deep.
It's not as exciting to talk about.
No.
So Mel's hole is located at Manitosh Ridge, which is approximately at the coordinates of blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
It's about 9 miles west of the city of Ellensburg.
We need to approximately go there then. So this, well, that begs the question too. Is this going on our list?
Do we approximately write this on the list?
I think we should approximately, at least, right? this talks about that Red Elk saying, he talked about when Waters went public, that's when the trouble began. He says, now I'm going public on this, and that could land me in a pile. It says, Red Elk claims the government has a secret base there, an underground base, a very small underground base. That's how Red Elk explains the white boxes covering the area on some satellite images. He said, it's a secret, it's an alien activity secret area. Hmm. A huge spacecraft, one will appear and hover over the hole. That's what he said happened during summer solstice when spacemen load and unload things at the hole before flying away.
They're like the garbage men of the hole, they empty it out.
Exactly, right? Yeah, here's our space debris. But it's weird. Like, you know, I know people, there can be multiple people making up stuff, but you tend to believe somebody that's at least labeled as an Indian shaman. And that's, but maybe that's part of, you know, the shtick of the whole thing. But
now, did you say they had... Had they spoken with Red Elk, like, after the radio yes. show broadcast?
Mm-hmm.
And, like,
yeah, because Mel hasn't been heard of since the early 2000s.
Right.
And this is what he came out with this in 2012. So this was, like, at that point, this was new news, like, gotcha. Like saying, hey, look, because last time he was heard from was, like, 2002, and then he's completely gone off the grid. And now, like, they say, oh, he never existed, and, oh, that was just a big hoax. And
yeah, my first thought was, is Red Elk actually Mel Waters? Just, oh, I'm Red Elk.
Now, that's an interesting theory. So
I'm not one to judge, but
yeah, I don't know, honestly, but it's just, it's interesting that it's, you know, this, it doesn't go away. I mean, here we are in 2024 and right. It's still like a thing.
It's always a thing.
That's why we cover it, because it's a thing, right?
Well, you have anything else on this?
I don't think so, though. So this was a fantastic one. I'm not just because I picked it either. I'm a little biased maybe, but no, I don't think so. Do you have anything else at all?
I don't. You guys covered that's everything fun. I could find.
Yes. Yeah. That was a lot of fun. Thank you for being part of that too.
Oh, right? Thank you.
So this is where are you? Who wants to guess what it's going to be?
Oh, you're doing. I'm mad.
Oh, I'm doing it. Well, did you guys do my thing last week? I don't think so. Right?
No, we didn't.
You left
one.
Me alone.
Yeah, that's why I completely spaced it. This is a little cringy and dark, so I'd say a dark side.
You think a dark side? What do you think, Pete?
My first instinct was to go dark side.
Dark side. Yeah. So now Todd normally gets it. Now every once in a while he gets it wrong, but he bats pretty much 1,000, pretty close to it.
So you're saying we suck.
Like the Yankees. No. I said that. I went there.
Everybody loses a few games every now and again.
Todd's going to hate me for that. It's going to be a light side. I'll tell you that.
Oh, boo.
I know. Boo boo. Well, I did think about some of the dark side stuff I could do. So I originally was going to go the Beatles just to drive Todd even nuttier, fixing a hole. But
you
I had
to do
a
hole.
Yes. Yeah. See, you know me too well, don't you? So I went with hole, celebrity skin.
There you go.
So this takes us back, right? Make me over. I'm all I want to be. A walking study in demonology. I figured you guys would love that. Hey, so glad you could make it. Hey, now you've really made it. Hey, so glad you could make it now. Oh, look at my face. My name is might have been. My name is never was. My name's forgotten. Hey, so glad you could make it. Hey, now you've really made it. Hey there. This is so hard not to sing this. I couldn't do as good of a job as they do, but hey, there's only us left now. When I wake up in my makeup, it's too early for that dress. Wilted and faded somewhere in Hollywood. I'm glad I came here with your pound of flesh. No second billing because you're a star now. Oh, Cinderella, there aren't like you now. Beautiful garbage, beautiful dresses. Can you stand up or will you just fall down? You better watch out. Oh, what you wish for. It better be worth it. So much to die for. Hey, so glad you could make it. Hey, now you've really made it. Hey, there's only us left now. When I wake up in my makeup, have you ever felt so used up as this? It's all so sugarless. I forgot some of the words in this. Waitress, model, actress. Go listen to it if you want to hear the full thing.
Explicit.
Oh, exactly. A little bit. Just go nameless. Honeysuckle, she's full of poison. She's obliterated everything she's kissed. Now she's faded somewhere in Hollywood. I'm glad I came here with your pound of flesh. You want a part of me? Well, I'm not selling cheap. No, I'm not selling cheap. So... It's good stuff right there. But that's so good that you knew that. You know me too well.
Well, it's either them or Butthole Surfers.
You know me too well. I had thought about that. I'm like, I can't go there. I could, but. So I thought that was good. See, if we're going to talk about holes, there's so many different ways you can go with that, but I tried to go as appropriate as possible, but that's the best I could do.
Good.
I'll say fixing a hole for another time when we figure out another hole.
Hole in the bucket.
Hole in the bucket. That was right. Now Nate, you have the second part of the announcements.
Sure, I can do that. Follow us on our social media accounts. We have Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, X, Rumble. You can email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's on the Mako. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Give us a 5-star rating because that's the only one that's there.
That's right.
And leave a review if the app allows. Only nice things, please.
Not all that nasty stuff about Nate.
Please spread the word about our podcast. It really helps. And we sell all kinds of awesome-looking merch. Go get you some. Please check out our Friday Fright videos on all of our socials. And if you would like to sponsor our podcast, whether you're an individual or a business, we offer multiple levels, just email us or message us on Facebook or Instagram.
Nice. That reminds me, with the Friday Frights, it's my turn this week, so I got
to
remember
that. There you go. Remember to do that.
I do. I will remember that. Okay. Well, thank you very much, and it's back over to you again.
Well, unlike Mel's hole, I think we've hit the bottom of ours. Yes.
This is not bottomless, right?
That's a wrap.
Nicely done. I appreciate that. We want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode 175 and our discussion on Mel's Hole in Washington State. So until next time, Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy. Thank you, Pete.
Thank you. Spreading